everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a furry friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful ocelot. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Elira or Elira, E.M., Jillian, Emery, and Ashlyn. Thank you all for taking the time to write in, and I hope you enjoy your very own episode. If you would like to help support the show's mission of helping you relax with animal facts, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts or just click the Patreon link in the description. By supporting the show in however much you choose to give, you get access to so many exclusive episodes, over 50 at this point, and they're expanding every week. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiance used in today's episode. His work is linked in the description, and I encourage you to check him out. And now, let us begin to wind down a little bit. If this is your first ever episode, I welcome you to our animal podcast family, and I think I speak for everyone here when I say we are glad to have you as a part of our adventure. If you are a returning listener, you know exactly what I am going to be asking of you. I have three primary exhortations for you. The first is that you put on a versatile pair of shoes. We are certainly going to be needing those for where we are going today. My second exhortation is arguably the most important. It is that you realize where you are carrying some tension. The reason this is so important is because it is difficult to relax when we are stiff as a board. So whether or not you carry tension in the head, the shoulders, the neck, the arms, my encouragement to you is the same. Do your best to let it go. You can even bring up some Jell-O in your mind, whatever color or flavor that you'd like, and do your best Oscar award-winning impression of it. Jell-O has no tension, and that is what we want. It might also be the case that you don't know where you carry tension, and you are definitely not alone there. If that is you, I encourage you to do a progressive muscle relaxation exercise. That is where you start from the bottom of your feet in your mind and just work your way up to the top of the head, relaxing as you go. So you would first start by relaxing the feet, the ankles, the calves, the quads, and up and up. My third exhortation to you is that you give your mind permission to wander and journey with me into a South American rainforest where the ocelot resides. I don't know about you, but I love the rainforest. I at least hope you would like it as much as I do, because we come here quite frequently. The amazing thing is that the soundscapes of a rainforest here in South America will be different in Asia or different parts of the world. But we are not only here to enjoy this dazzling greenery, we're here looking for the ocelot. This animal is the largest of the small hunting cats of the Americas. They are about twice the size of an average house cat, making them a sleek animal equipped with a beautiful speckled coat. Just to give you a rough estimate, that is 28 to 35 inches long, weighing from between 24 to 35 pounds. And before we get too ahead of ourselves, we must cover that super important scientific name. I am a confirmed word nerd, and so I invite you to stir up your curiosity with me. Their scientific name is Leopardus pardalis. As is nearly always the case, there is some Greek and Latin roots here. The former part of their scientific name is Leopardus. It's derived from the Greek word leopardos, which is a compound of leon, which is lion, and pardos, which is leopard or panther. The latter portion of their name is pardalis, which is an exact equivalent of the Latin word, which means leopard or spotted animal. So taken altogether and quite literally, this animal can be understood to be a spotted lion leopard. It could also be translated as leopard leopard, but that isn't as fun. This creature is of course a mammal, and they are carnivorous. I don't know how many of your house cats enjoy eating spinach, but the ocelot is no different. The cool thing about this animal is that their fur coats have striking markings on them in a variety of patterns. But each ocelot has a distinct pattern of dark spots on an orange, tan, and white coat. This makes identifying them for researchers quite an easy job. If they are studying individual ocelots, all they have to know is their pattern. If you have not already Googled these guys, just like house cats, they have a narrow jawline, long tails, and limber bodies. And while they are larger than house cats, the ocelot only reaches an adult male human's knee. So they are not, by all accounts, huge, but certainly larger than the cat that you have in your house. It does make them just large enough to be South America's second largest spotted cat after jaguars. While we are here in South America, it is worth mentioning that they can be found throughout the United States, Mexico, and Central America. Specifically in the United States, these cats have been discovered in both Arizona and Texas. They are known to be able to live in a variety of places, savanna grasslands, tropical and subtropical forests, coastal marshes, mangrove forests. The point is, as long as it's somewhat warm, they seem to be jolly. Just like all other cats of their size, ocelots have excellent vision and hearing. They see far better in the dark than we do because their eyes have a coating that reflects light. In reality, an ocelot can walk around at night just as easily as you can during the day. They also are equipped with a far greater sense of smell than we have, though it is worth mentioning their smell is still worse than a dog's. Another way that they kind of feel themselves around is with their long whiskers. These are not purely cosmetic, but work as little antennae, maybe. The point is that they receive sensory information from their whiskers, so they are not just for extravagance. The behavior of the wild ocelot makes them challenging to study because they are most active at nighttime. If you remember that special distinction for animals that are awake mostly at night, it means they are nocturnal. They are particularly around during dawn and dusk time and are extremely secretive. I can imagine that being an ocelot researcher is pretty challenging. The ocelot certainly doesn't help in the process of their own research. Though they are most active at nighttime, they may be more active during the day on wet or overcast days. Because these animals have a propensity to be skittish, they love densely vegetated regions like tropical rainforests. During the daytime, they sleep in bushes, on tree branches, or within hollow trees. A big picture of their behavior is coming through here in that they love to hide. When we learned that they are secretive, they really are. They do not like being in the open, and when trees and bushes are taken down in an area for some reason, the ocelots immediately choose to leave. Without the protection of that greenery, there is just no way for them to survive. Hiding is a huge part of what allows them to live long lives. One aspect about them that makes them great hiders is that their coat gives them a thorough camouflage, especially against a variety of browns and greens. They really do just fit in. This is a mechanism known as camouflage, where an animal just seems to seamlessly fit with the background. It makes them less easily discoverable by predators and makes themselves less discoverable by unknowing prey. In terms of prey, they hunt mostly on tiny rodents, although they have been seen to consume birds, snakes, iguanas, and other reptiles, young deer, rabbits, and even occasionally fish and crabs. They don't seem to be all that picky, and depending on what they are looking to eat, they can switch up their style. They can choose to hunt while walking around or sit and wait for an ambush. If they do happen to take down a larger prey, and if they are unable to eat it in a single feeding session, they will cover it and return the following night to finish their meal. They don't have refrigerators, so leaves and sticks and other sorts of things will have to do. The fact that they sometimes eat fish tells you something more about their behavior. While they do spend the majority of their time on the ground, they are capable swimmers, climbers, and jumpers. For smaller prey, they can take hold of it and jump to a higher place to devour it in peace. As carnivores, ocelots are designed to eat just that. They are equipped with specialized teeth for eating flesh. Sharp incisors will shred the meat from the bone, and their back teeth will chop it into smaller pieces like scissors. Teeth shape is remarkably indicative of what a creature eats. If they are more flat, it is indicative of a creature that likes to grind plants. But the teeth of a saber-toothed tiger is obviously going to tell researchers something else. Like many other cats, they have raspy tongues that can scrub a bone clean of any remaining delicious morsel. These animals are territorial. They typically range from 2.4 to 56 square miles. That's about 4 to 90 square kilometers for everyone else. But keep in mind, there are different ranges for males and females on average. That was the male number, but the female number is from between 0.62 to 46.6 square miles, or 1 to 75 square kilometers, again, literally for everyone else. I like taking jabs sometimes at the United States for using miles, because to me, as a Canadian, their measurement seems so arbitrary. But this is not the place for me to vent my scruples about units of measurement. According to the San Diego Zoo, ocelots do not roar like lions or tigers, but rather make a chuckling sound when excited and mutter to one another. They make a yowl sound when they are courting. They can also communicate in some other ways. A male will mark his territory by clawing at logs, spraying vegetation with his urine, and leaving his droppings prominently on trails. Like many other cat species, they communicate not only with sound or with body language, but through smell too. Scent marking is a big part of their life, particularly in maintaining their own ranges. If you see those claw marks, if you see the droppings, if you smell another ocelot, it means you're in my house now. And if the ocelots don't want to fight with one another, respecting those territorial marking methods is pretty important. In terms of baby ocelots, also known as kittens, it can be a difficult journey for a male and female ocelot to have them. This is a biological reality of the ocelot, in that it is very difficult for a female ocelot to get pregnant. But when she does, an ocelot family will consist of an adult mother and her young. That is because, after reproducing, male and female ocelots separate. It is only after a little more than 2 months that these new kittens will come into the world into a hollow tree, a rocky bluff, a cave, or a thicket. A female ocelot will have from between 1 to 4 kittens on average. Like many mothers in the animal kingdom, the ocelot mom will defend, feed, and care for her kittens all by herself. She might have from between 1 to 5 different den sites that she transfers her infants to. This is all depending on her level of security. When young ocelots come into the world, they are completely marked with spots. This follows the pattern of their parents, but they have a gray coat equipped with darker lower limbs, blue eyes that ultimately change to brown at 3 months old. Their eyes are closed at birth but open at around 14 days of age. After a period of 3 weeks, the kittens will begin to walk around. From between 4 to 6 weeks of age, the kittens will learn from their mothers how to hunt. At the young age of only 8 months, the youngsters have adult teeth and can hunt on their own, but they can remain in the mother's home range for up to 2 years. It makes a lot of sense to me as to why the mothers put so much effort into their kittens As we learned before, it is pretty difficult for a female ocelot to be a mom. And now, let us move to the name ocelot. What does it mean, or where does it come from? We have been using this word since 1775, from the French word, a word formed by the French naturalist Leclerc, which is apparently an Aztecan word that meant jaguar. Their full name in the Aztec language was Tlalsolotl. It is a compound formed with tlali, which means field. This would allow us to infer that the Aztecs saw these creatures as field jaguars. That is pretty cool. And now, allow me to tell you a dad joke, and just before I say it, I'm sorry. Check this out. What do you call a baby ocelot? An ocelittle. That one almost sent me into a fetal position the first time I read it. Not for joy, but for terror. And now, let us go to some of your Spotify Q&A replies. On the Atlas Moth episode, I asked you guys what the short life of the Atlas Moth teaches you about life in general. Little Boat says, I should appreciate the beauty of the Golden Gate Bridge, because if Mothra exists, then Godzilla must too, and that bridge always ends up getting destroyed. Very good call, Little Boat. I also love your syllogism, your use of rigorous logic. If A, then B. If Mothra exists, then Godzilla exists. I mean, logically valid, true premises, necessary conclusion. Very good stuff. Anushri Agarwal says, embrace life with flying colors. Doesn't matter how long you're here. Love the show and your voice is soothing. That is a great response, Anushri. And indeed, embrace life with flying colors. And to that, I would only add, learn. And you're doing that with me here, so that's good. Lindsay finishes up saying, I was telling a coworker about what I learned regarding the life cycle, and she said, it can't eat? Well then, what's the point to its existence? I instantly said, to be beautiful. Sometimes that's it. Well, Lindsay, it seems like you answered much in the way that I would have. Now, I'm unsure if that is the way you would have always responded, or at least before you started listening to the show, or if that's a view you got from me somehow, but that's a great answer. I do like that your coworker set up the whole telos to existence. That is, the whole point to exist is to eat food. I guess for many animals, that might well be a reality. But it's great you guys are talking at work about these things. Animals are awesome, and they deserve to be talked about. Now, on the Atlas Moth episode that was posted to Instagram, I asked you guys, if you could change or add one thing to the podcast, what would you do? LottieDawn101 writes, I love your episodes as they are, but I do miss that little tea break from your older episodes. What happened to an RWAF chamomile tea brand? I don't know when I stopped sipping chamomile tea on the podcast. I'll be honest, I don't have really that much space to be doing that at the moment. When I first started recording the show, I was sort of standing in a closet. Sometimes I was just out at my living room table with my cell phone. But I am also, right now, jammed into a closet with a bunch of soundproof foam. There is about an 85% chance that if I bring this tea into this enclosed space, I will scald myself. So I probably won't be drinking tea on the show for a while. As to the RWAF chamomile tea brand, I have actually thought about it, but I simply have too much going on to start something like that. The.soul.feed says, "The show is perfect. I totally did not put this comment in here to boost my self-confidence." RenRatty_777 said, "Episodes to energize you to start the day with, since I keep falling asleep to the episodes. Should I start a second podcast that is just called Don't Relax with Animal Facts? Equipped with me talking as fast as I did in the first episode, loud noises. I will definitely table that for now, but I don't think putting any energizing episodes up is a good idea. Because if one of you just wants to hit play and let the episodes go down one by one, I don't want you to be startled awake, which was a problem with this show having any form of outside advertising. This format is way too easily compromised. That is to say, it's a fragile format. It is so easy to mess it up. And, of course, now I am pretty hyper-vigilant of avoiding that. The last bit of communication with you guys comes from Apple Podcasts. Appy Audio wrote a review all the way from the United States of America, saying, "Really enjoy listening to these. Interesting listen while relaxing. Love putting a few episodes on before bed. I am so grateful that you take the time to join me on these adventures and that the show is a part of your nightly routine. If you are a listener of the show, I would love for you to be involved in it. Answering the Spotify Q&As, commenting on those Instagram posts, or responding to those ratings on Spotify. Because this show is for you, and because of animal requests by you, an open line of communication between myself and you guys is pretty important. If you would like to request an animal for a future episode, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and clicking on the Submit and Animal Request tabs. To reach out to me, Steph Wolf, or any other reason, you can send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com, or you can send a message to the Instagram relaxwithanimalfacts. If you would like to support the show's mission, obligation-free, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. There are so many episodes waiting for your listenership, and you don't even need to listen on Patreon. On the Patreon page, there are instructions for how to listen on your favorite platform, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you listen. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiances in today's episode. His work is, again, in the description, and I think you should check him out. The facts used in today's episode come from livescience.com, animals.sandiegozoo.org, nationalgeographic.com, and eastfoundation.net. which is actually a charity. They are deeply involved in the conservation of the ocelot, and so if you are interested in supporting them, I'll leave that charity link in the description. What an amazing animal we have learned about today. The ocelot is a special little cat. Well, less little than your own cat. I know how many of you out there have your very own house cats, and I'm sure there are some things that you learned about the ocelot that could be applied to them too. I am so grateful that you have taken time out of your busy schedule to be on this adventure with me, and I look forward to the next adventure together with the next animal. Take care.